All right, I hope you're ready for preaching tonight. We also not only have a missionary to present, but he's going to preach to us tonight. So I hope you're prepared for that, amen, and ready. I do want to mention before he comes, and Brother David Gull, many of you remember him. He called me yesterday. He's our sent missionary out of our church, and we haven't had a lot of updates, and he's hoping to be here for this year's mission conference coming up in November. But you know, they've had a recent addition to their family in February, had a brand new baby, and but they called and their van is broken down, and so just want the church to begin to pray and pray for that. God to give me wisdom on how to help them. They're kind of in a tough spot, and so just be in prayer about that. It's a tough thing for a missionary that's on deputation to have a broke down vehicle. Amen. And so just be in prayer about it and how the Lord's going to handle it. Brother Anthony Diaz is a missionary to West Africa, and I'm not going to steal all his thunder and tell you everything that I do know off his missionary card, but he's going to come and inform both of us about just all that they've already done and what they're going to continue to do. God bless you.
Thank you. Right. Well, it's good to be with you folks here this evening down in Florida. We are from Fargo, North Dakota, and they have 52 inches of snow up there. So I told one of the ushers, I feel kind of like a French fry that's been left in the boiler a little too long down here. So, but yeah, our mission field is to Liberia, West Africa, and I'll go through these slides here fairly quickly. If you do have a question for me, you can just write it down and you can ask me at our table in the back over to the left there as you leave. And we also have our prayer cards there. We really covet your prayers there. And it looks like this. My family is here. And if you see one of them running around, tell them to slow down. But my sister-in-law is also here going to the Bible college, and she's the curly head girl. And but the first question I get, though, in Liberia here is, where is Liberia? And we can click one time there. And it's right on the west coast. It's actually the country that is closest to Brazil. And it's a couple thousand miles away, but they get a lot of meat from Brazil there. And you also get, our rainy season also coincides with your hurricane season. So all the weather that comes from there is what performs your hurricanes. So you're welcome. But it was first founded on July 26, 1847, and it was the first republic there. It was the first freed American slaves landed there in 1822. And when they went back, Baptist pastors and Baptist preachers also went back with them. So there's a rich history of Baptist culture there. It was the first republic in Africa. And before the Civil War, it was actually one of the most prosperous nations in Africa. There's a lot of gold, a lot of diamonds, a lot of resources there. But they had a Civil War from 1989 to 2003. And this is where you got some of the blood diamonds from and children soldiers from. So there was a lot of hard times for the people there in Liberia. It has about 5 million people as of 2020, and most people make about $1 a day there. And it's in the top 20 for poorest countries in the world. You can go to the next slide here. And then our ministry in Liberia has kind of four things that we're trying to focus on here. We're going to try and establish independent Baptist churches that are self-sustaining. There, we're going to start a radio station in the capital city of Monrovia. We're going to train the key men, and then we're also going to be doing Bible studies throughout the city there. It's a city of about 1.5 million people, And I'll get more into some details of these here. But we were there for just short of 2 years. We actually started debutation 2020, the perfect year to start debutation. So I actually quit my job the end of January to go on debutation in March, and then that's when COVID hit. But the Lord was faithful. He provided for us financially during that whole time. So, but the Bible study groups, we have currently do 6 different areas of Bible studies, and in the background is just one picture of it. And that's actually the main group that has the most potential of the main group. Because there's a couple of key men that we are training there, and one of them is really taking huge steps of faith for us. And just about everybody at the Bible studies that we go to has to sacrifice in order to come. Because it's so expensive there to get transportation to the Bible studies. There's quite a few of them that have to forego eating, sometimes the whole day, in order to come. So we know that they're serious about learning the Bible there. All right, next slide, please. The radio. You can click through this here. There we go. Fargo Baptist Church up in Fargo, North Dakota, has operated a radio station for the last 25 years up there. It has a 100-mile radius of Fargo, and it probably reaches about 150,000 to 200,000 people up there. There's a 100-mile radius. You'd think that'd be more people in there, but it is Fargo, North Dakota, so they do say there's more trees than women up there. So, but my experience with the radio, I actually went to school for computer engineering. I was actually running away from the Lord's calling at that time, and God ended up using that and my work experience with an internet company to troubleshoot their systems to actually start a radio station in a foreign country. So go ahead and click. Now for the radio station here. These are just, that's the repeating tower at our compound there. We actually rent that compound. You can click one more time. And that is 15 miles away on the left. You can kind of see the guys are up kind of high, but there's 1,100 feet above sea level. And Monrovia is 15 feet above sea level. And we can click again. We wouldn't have the radio station today if it wasn't for meeting the vice president of Liberia. She's the lady there in the middle. We actually were able to meet her through the gentleman on the right. He is Liberian by birth, but he fled the Civil War. And he was trying to get the vice president, long story short, he was trying to get the vice president to come to Fargo. And she ended up not getting a visa for that because of what her husband did during the Civil War. And so we ended up meeting her there in her office in Liberia. And through that, I became good friends with the vice president's aide. And long story short, if we had any problems, all I had to do was call him and he would clear it up for us in 5 minutes. So corruption is very, very bad there. We can go ahead and click again. So on October 5th of last year, Heavenly Christian Radio went live on the air at 106.9 FM. So we're reaching about 1.5 to 2 million people with the radio station there today. So if you're a person that likes to get everything in one load, Liberia is the place for you. And this is actually right on the main road there. They call it the Boulevard. And you can see that it stopped because of the power line there. Somebody will climb all the way up to the top of there and lift the power line up and over that. Majority of the time, the power is not working. So they got a 70-30 chance that they'll live. But young Christians that we're working with, Liberia is one of the in the top 10 for youngest countries in the world. The average age is 19 years old. And here are 3 of our high school graduates that we were working with. And they're all about 20 years, so this was a couple years ago. But you see the gentleman on the left? Our church sends us out 2 by 2, 2 men at a time. He's a retired pastor of 30 years, and they do that for accountability purposes, for encouragement as well. We can click to the next slide. And this is one picture of our main group here, right along the Atlantic Ocean. Just about everybody was in that picture has been saved and baptized there. Go ahead and click. And these are some of the young men that we are working with just this main group here. We have a few other groups where they're about 30 to 40 that we do also, but this is the one that has the most potential. The one in the middle, that's the guy that came from Fargo. So he just wanted to get into the picture. Next slide, please. While we were there, we actually had Mackenzie born there when the Lord gave us peace in 2020 after doing about 3 months of deputation to go there and that he would provide. And he did. And we had our third born child there. And so she's our African child. So, but we also had Brooklyn. We came back in June of last year to have our fourth child, but this is my girls. And there's a couple clicks here. But pray for us to raise our full support in the Lauda town that we have. We are going back to Liberia the 1st of May of this year. We're sitting at about 75% right now. We had to raise our support level because of the inflation over there. The prices of food pretty much doubled in a single month there. And pray for our safety and travel as we visit other churches. From here, we are going back to Fargo, North Dakota, the land of the frozen chosen. And I also continue to pray for the growth of the Christians in Liberia. It's a very tough country to live in. You hear of third world countries. I consider Liberia just under a third world country. It's very, very tough there. And for instance, just to give you an example, we haven't had public water there since December of 2021. So we had to figure out, there's many things we have to figure out there, being from the most prosperous nation in the world. So, and that is all of the slideshow. Testing. There we go. All right. Well, I'm going to surprise everybody tonight with the message and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Yeah, I bet you'll never guess which passage I am going to in Matthew chapter 28. But, I just want to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart here to share with you. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to be reading about the Great Commission here. And we're going to start reading in verse 16. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, have you ever wondered what's on God's heart? Well, Jesus didn't have a whole lot of time here left. But here he was giving his disciples a command. And what's on God's heart here is for everybody, every world, everywhere, to know Jesus as their Savior. That is the heart of God. He wants us to know his love for us. And that's what the message is going to be on tonight. God's heart. God's heart. You know, there's a very popular song. I'd like to read the lyrics to you.
Could we, with the ink fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were on every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky. That's how much God loves us. You can fill the ocean with ink and go as far from east as from west and write about everything that God has done for us in our lives. And it wouldn't even be a drop in the bucket of what God has done for us, how much He loves us. And that's what this Great Commission is. His love to us. Now, I like learning about what's going on in Israel. In Israel, there is this tree that has been resurrected back from extinction. Has anybody heard about this? Yeah, some of you have. Good. But for almost 1,000 years, this tree has been extinct in Israel. And at the siege of Masada, the last siege in 72 AD, where the Jews, the Jewish zealots held out, they had some seeds of this tree there, not knowing that this would be extinct one day. But in 72 AD, they burned all of their food storage except one to show the Romans that they didn't give up because they ran out of food. So when they were excavating these, they found these seeds about 40 years ago from this plant. Now, the plant's been extinct since about 1050 AD, since the First Crusade. And these ladies wanted to plant these seeds. A lot of people thought they were nuts. They were over 2,000 years old, almost. But yet, the government gave them some seeds to plant to see what the result would be. And they planted them, and wouldn't you know, one grew. One. Now, it was a male tree. So the government saw what happened, so they gave them some more. And then two female trees came up. Now, why do I tell you this story? That tree is not extinct anymore. That tree is also used in it's called the Balm of Gilead. They got the ointment from that tree. It was used in the temple. But no matter how cold somebody gets to sharing the gospel, and if you're a child of God, no matter how extinct that may be, God can bring that back. He can bring it back. Much how his disciples were at this point when he told them. Look at the end of verse 17 here. But some doubted. But some doubted. Now let's turn to Mark, the end of Mark here. And we'll see this again in verse 16 and verse 9. This doubt. Jesus actually sent a couple of different times people to his disciples because they were doubting. And just like that seed, there's that seed of doubt that we need to be careful of in the Christian life. That seed of doubt. Driving through Tennessee, you see in these hills all these trees in the actual rocks. So this tiny seed, and I've seen it myself, I think, oh, this Christian, he's going to do something for God. And then I hear 15 years later, they're not even in church. That tiny seed, if you let it grow, that doubt, no matter how big of a strong of a Christian you think you are, you will fail if you don't get rid of this doubt, much like how the disciples had it here. Let's read in verse number 9 here. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, that's the disciples, when they had heard that he was alive, had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had sent him after he was risen. The very disciples that were supposed to take forth the church had the same doubt. And we are kidding ourselves today if that would ever happen to us. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to see a church of Ephesus where Paul had his hand in, the church of Ephesus. And we're going to see what that seeds of doubt will do, not just to a person, but to a whole church. And we're going to start in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he, that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. So they're doing pretty good here. It sounds like a growing church, right? But let's read verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That first love. How important do you think it is of us loving God? Now, I could stand up here and talk to you until midnight about God's love for us. But what about our love for Him? Let's continue reading in verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Except thou repent. So what he's saying in verse 5 is, remember when you first got saved. That joy that you had. I remember when I got saved. I was thinking differently. I had joy. I had peace. He's telling them, go back to that. And now look at where you're at. Repent of what you're doing. So they're doing all these good things. And as Paul said, though I have the voice of an angel, and have not charity, it is nothing. It means absolutely nothing. So, these disciples, they had a problem. They had that problem of unbelief. That unbelief. Now, how do we combat that unbelief? With truth. With truth. When I was a clerk at a grocery store growing up, they said, sit down, I want you to study this $100 bill, $50 bill, and $20 bill. These are the real things. And by studying the real thing, you know how to spot a fake. You know how to spot it. Now, we are to be the light of the world, right? Now imagine you're in a dark room, right? And somebody turns on the lights. Are you happy with that person? No. So when you expect to share the gospel with somebody, it may not always be the response that we're looking for, right? But it's still a command to go, no matter the response. Now in Liberia, they're hungry for the gospel. They're hungry for it. I was in Botswana in 2009 on my very first missions trip there. And there was a video that came from there. And people were handing out tracts. All of a sudden, this group of people just came around them. He had no idea what they wanted. He threw the tracts up into the air, and he took off running. And they just so happened to get this on video, because they were going to send it back to their church. But the people weren't coming to rob him. They were coming for the tracts. That's how it is in Liberia right now. They don't have hope. They don't have joy. They don't have all these distractions that Americans have. And it's such a blessing to see. People want the gospel. Now, I told you about the Baptist history there. In one town, I took out the picture to condense down the slide a little bit. But in one town, all there is Baptist churches. But none of them have heard a clear presentation of the gospel before. Because all their leaders were either killed or they fled the Civil War. And this wasn't a small town. This was the fifth biggest town in Liberia. Tens of thousands of people. And I really feel like the Lord has us there to replow and reseed the gospel. Now, the groups that we have, we've gotten those just handing out tracts. But now we have the radio station that's declaring the gospel 24/7. And if you want to hear kind of what we're playing, you can listen to KFBN.org. That's our home radio station. Now, a lot of what they play there is kind of what we're playing there, because we can play it in English there. They speak English. So please pray for that. We haven't advertised it yet, and we're going to do that when we get back there. And I expect a very big response. Because everybody there, as poor as they are, everybody has a cell phone, and they have a radio. So having a radio there is like having a TV station here. And another reason why we have the radio station there is God's word does not return unto him void. It accomplishes that which he pleaseth. And we started that relying on that promise. That promise. And the exact same promise that he gave his disciples. If we were to go back to Matthew chapter 28, I will never leave you. He's never going to leave us. And I just want to leave you with this. Turn to Luke here. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. This is where the thief trusts Christ as his personal Savior here. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. One day we are going to have to stand before Jesus. How is he going to welcome us? I read 42 several times. It actually came from a previous message from another pastor in Virginia. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. When all is said and done, I just want him to remember me. Everything that I've done for him, everything that I'm going to do, it's not going to mean a thing when I see him. And that's just really struck out to me, just really in the past 2 weeks. It doesn't matter where you are in life, in the Christian walk. Just look to him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And please continue us to think of us in your prayers. And if you have any questions, you can get back to me in the back table. Pastor.
Stand to our feet tonight. As the musicians come, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight about maybe just praying more for missions. Maybe God spoke to your heart about what's going on in your life. Maybe God is reaching into your heart and calling you into missions. Maybe God is reaching into your heart and soul and saying you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tonight, if you want to accept Jesus Christ and his finished work, it's very easy. We can take a Bible and we can show you simply how you can trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. A lot of those verses tonight were spoken by a resurrected Savior. A lot of people in this world worship a religion with somebody who's dead, buried, and in the ground, but we serve a living Savior. You want to meet me in the front tonight? If you need to be saved, I'll meet you here. If God's called you to preach, God's called you to be a missionary, God's called you to do something, and you just need somebody to pray with, I'll be happy to pray with you. You do what God's asked you to do, as Brother Burt sings.